Welcome to Making Room, a podcast inspiring people to accelerate change by being a catalyst, honoring creativity, and acting with courage. We are making room for the greatest potential of our community.
Welcome here. Y'all didn't think I was going to start that way, did you?
Doing a new intro.
Yeah, new intro. I didn't say. What do I usually say?
All right.
I know. I'm getting.
You got to say it. I mean, you got to embrace these things.
I know, but I'm just keeping our audience and
community. I can see it being on a t-shirt one day.
All right. I was just giving love to our podcast soundtrack artist, the Welcome. So we're here live in studio. Just had a great conversation once again with Nate Sally around coaching, development, growth, and I'm curious what y'all are taking away. I'll share more. We talked about sleep. That was like with the things I was grappling with, it was crazy to think it just came back to sleep and how, you know, those answers are usually within us, right? And it takes a person with you, whether you engage a coach, whether you have a friend that really believes in you, that is also going to be straight with you, but also will encourage you. So I'm curious for you all, what are some thoughts, you know, when you think about being in this learning conversation, right? And Shivani, I know you're, you know, in this really awesome new program. And what are you, insights from that conversation? And curious, like, what are you hoping to get out of maybe this new program?
Yeah, I really enjoyed, I mentioned in the last podcast, of just watching the process of coaching and what it entails and how much it is really just drawing out your own internal worries and concerns and struggles, and then finding solutions, recognizing patterns of your own behavior, your own habits, and then creating your answer, which is probably always kind of right in front of us. We just need someone to draw it out. And so I think as I go into my own Physician Leadership Institute training, even just having one session under the belt so far, just listening to the process of even when you're at a high level, you're at an executive level, that even at that level, people are being coached. People are trying to understand how to do things better and be better leaders and bring people along because they are better leaders in a healthy way. And so I'm excited about learning more about my own style and what my strengths are, what my weaknesses are, and harnessing that to be able to really kind of move myself in a direction that I feel like I should be going in, or that I am already going in and maybe just doing it better than I already am. So that is my hope for the Institute, and really the ultimate motivation. My why, I think, is really that it then impacts people, right? It impacts community because everything that I do from a work perspective is touching communities that don't always have opportunities at their fingertips to have progress or be able to be successful or be healthy or be well. And so kind of remembering that why I think is really important to me. And that was something that we touched on yesterday too, just knowing that, because if you know your why, even when there is a hard day, you'll be able to kind of move forward because there's always going to be a hard day.
That's great. Yeah, that's awesome. I don't know if I have anything that deep. I will say before, making light a little bit, I will say that I do take, my takeaway was that your life is a lot more exciting than mine with and Kilimanjaro. You said something towards the end too that I'm trying to remember, but it was like, oh man, he's at it again. But what I did, I was just, like Shivani said, admiring the Jedi mind trick that he played on you essentially in that. I was like, he's asking a lot of questions, and then I would see you turning and then you were kind of talking yourself through it. And I thought back, I know he said he puts it in the sports terms. I put it into a golf coach that I've gone to recently, and he was amazing, but he said, I think if you speak to him honestly, he was like, there's a million things I could tell you to do that you're probably doing wrong, but he's like, what is it that you're going to actually do, the most impactful thing that you're going to do? And it was like one tweak is almost like just the way you approach the ball, just how you're standing, how you approach it makes all the difference. Now go practice it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is revolutionary. But a couple of things in that was, he's not going to go play with me on every time I go out to play. Mm-hmm. He's not going to fix everything about me, but what is the one or two impactful things that you can change to get the results that you need to keep moving forward and then coming back? And over time, that starts to accumulate. So I just connected that while I was listening, but just mm-hmm. the fact that he was listening and providing you with questions that would help you develop or reveal the answers that were already there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I love that what your golf coach shared about, you know, the one or two things, because I'm taking some tennis lessons right now. I have played some when I was a kid, and just I needed some more play in my life, and it is so much fun to kind of get back into that. And I'm really struck with this Augustine. He was actually number one seed at Queens, very good player. He's from Argentina. And he is an excellent teacher and coach. And I think, you know, sometimes coaching is leading people to the answer. Sometimes you need someone to say, hey, you're doing this with your serve and that's off. Right. But I think in either situation, what you're inviting into your life is someone who can give you another perspective.
That's right.
And I think this morning, you know, he had me just shift my weight on a serve, just a very small thing, and it was just like this light bulb went off. All of a sudden, boom, or hey, when you throw the ball up, you have to watch it.
Right.
And
right.
things that I can't see. And so I think there's the process also in development where you can overdo it too, mm-hmm. right? Like yeah. I remember I had a friend one time who said, geez, all you're reading is, quote, self-improvement books, and that mm-hmm. can turn into something. So I think there is this, you know, I think, Shivani, what you said of kind of figuring some, you know, being exploratory and curious and allowing our own growth process to unfold versus like rushing it or forcing it or always trying to get to the next thing, because there is sometimes a little bit of practice. Like he say, like, I'm going to get a lesson and then go play for a little while yeah. and then come mm-hmm. back to
right.
it, right?
Right?
So it's fun to have a little bit of balance with it too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the other thing that struck me is that you have to want to be able to like seek out that coaching,
right?
Right? So being open, we get feedback all day long, good and bad, from people, whether it's in our careers or in our homes, but not being open to the feedback, not being ready to hear it and take it in and actually like shift and adjust based on that feedback will not allow you to grow and develop. And so really kind of seeking out that when you are ready to be able to receive it, I think is important too.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great point. Also, the I think, John, it was something that you said around the external pressure versus internal. And what I think a lot of what he did when Nate talked to all three of us was like, okay, well, putting aside what you think the external consequences might be or what outside of your control, how do you feel like that would impacted you? And I think it was something you mentioned of, I could do all these things. I could go into this athlete mode of hyperdrive and society might very well reward you for taking on additional work. And, oh man, you did all this. This is great. You know, just feeding into that. But individually, like you're suffering like yourself. So balancing that of what's external pressure that I may be putting on myself and no one else is putting on me, just the idea that it's out there. Versus what actually I need to do and what's important and what's needed in that moment. So I thought that was a good takeaway too.
Yeah, it is. I think it's as we get older, we're not that old, but we've had younger people on who have mm-hmm. reminded us that we're twice their age. I think you start to learn and sense. And when I'm doing some, you know, some counseling work too on just understanding my body better, right? And what are the signals? What are the things it's telling me? And when is it telling me to rest? And when is it saying, I think it's rest, but I actually need to go move and have fun? I was sitting mm-hmm. down Sunday and I was just like, I just feel like a little irritable and I'm having trouble concentrating. I just realized I need to go play. So mm-hmm. I went and I took a bag of tennis balls and I went and hit against the wall. And then I saw a group of people and said, hey, can I play with y'all? Like I felt, and it was great because I felt like that little kid and I realized that's what my body was telling me. But the awareness shifted to what you're saying to kind of understand that. And to me, the discernment to know that is so affected by sleep. And we talked a little bit about that last time. So I'm curious, since you are our medical expert, here it comes. But what is happening? I think I've read before, if you get like less than 6 hours, you know, what is happening in the brain, and like the decision making can take you to like, you know, like you're almost intoxicated, you know. But so what is, talk about the impact of sleep and decision making and our well-being.
Yeah, so I love to talk about sleep. I'm terrible at it. I am definitely a night owl and like the quiet of the night to get my work done when everyone else is sleeping. But and I've always been that person, but I know the value of it and I'm working on it. However, you know, sleep requirements are very different based on age as well, right? We know that young kids need a lot of sleep because early on in their life, that's when all that brain development is happening, right? You learn something new during the day. You pack it into your permanent memory when you're sleeping at nighttime. It helps you kind of register information so that you're able to process feelings and emotions and things that you've learned into that permanent pieces of your brain that help you then make decisions based on those feelings and emotions or based on the things that you learn. And there's a lot of other stuff that happens too, right? Like a lot of your digestion happens. And so if you don't sleep well, you might feel sluggish the next day because you haven't really properly metabolized everything. And we've all been there, right? If you haven't had a good night of sleep, you don't concentrate as well, right? You might be a little bit edgier, a little grumpy, not respond quite as openly and lovingly as you would if you had a full night's rest. And it's really hard to concentrate. I used to joke in college, I didn't drink, and my friends would go out in Miami. I'd be like, well, just tell me when we're going out, and I just won't sleep. I'll, like, have an all-nighter, and then I'll be good to go, and I'll be, you know, ready to hang and play with all of y'all. But I'll still be able to drive us home. But, you know, it's also not healthy. Yeah, but, right. You know, it's so important because it is weird when we're doing so much of that brain processing, and when you don't get adequate sleep, for whatever reason, because you cannot sleep, because you have a medical thing that's causing it, because you're making decisions, or when you're young and you're not in like a safe, stable environment to get sound sleep and feel comfortable when you are resting, all of those then impact your long-term function, both permanent as well as acutely, like the next day, how you're able to operate. And so everything you're saying about like not really being present to make decisions when you are tired and your brain has not rested, there are pieces of your brain that are just not going to function properly the next day.
Well, what is happening? Because I think we see this happening in kids. So I actually find this is very counterintuitive. When I am overtired and I'm really tired and I know like it's time to go to bed, that I actually want to stay up. And that might be the night that I decide to watch a movie at 9 o'clock. That's not a good idea. And I think you see it in kids too. Maybe it's because we all joke, I am kind of a kid, right? Although Sahana still says I'm a grown up.
I'm trying to help you understand that you're a grown up. Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure that out.
This is advice from a 6-year-old.
Coaching comes in.
Yeah, she is my coach. Sahana's my kid coach. And I feel like that happens with children too, where when you're really overtired, it's, you know, it's harder to get, you know, kids to go to bed. So what is happening when you're, is the body like wanting something more? Why is it almost sometimes harder to go to bed when you're actually really tired?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, part of it's probably just like connected to your environment and the things that are going around. And we talked about FOMO in our last episode as well, just like feeling like there's something else that's happening and you want to be a part of it. So as young kids, you know, all the grown-ups are still awake and so they must be doing something amazing. Right. So I want to stay up too. John, in your case, I'm not really sure. However, you also get to that tired state where your brain is not processing. So you know the right decision to make, but you can't actually make it because you're tired and your brain's not going to operate on 100%. Yeah. And so you make that wrong choice or that unhealthy choice, and then you pop on the screen. Our kids do it all the time, right? Like children that I see in clinic that are like falling asleep to the TV or watching the phone until very late or checking that one last text before they go to bed. But we know that that light then wakes up the brain. It makes you think that you're in the middle of the day in sunshine, and so you should be awake even more, and it takes even longer for you to then get into deep sleep.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
It is. Well, that's why I'm a huge napper. I love naps, and you know,
the luxury of your life, John.
Naps. No, here it is. The luxury, yes. But you know, there's a great book called Brain Rules, and I'm also very passionate about neuroscience and how can you do things with the body and rest that, you know, make you process things better and have better executive functioning. And in the book, NASA and the military actually experimented with mandatory naps for officers, and they found it increased productivity 20 to 30%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to our partner Brandy this week, and we were saying too that like the in the circadian rhythms of the body and the brain, that the brain is shutting down between like this 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. Yet, you know, like energy drinks is this 5 years ago was an $11 billion industry, right? And I think there's ways we can pay attention. And yeah, we joke, but for me, sometimes laying down for 10 minutes, like I challenge anyone listening to just, even if you don't go to sleep, just shut the body down for 10 minutes. And it works really well.
Yeah, yeah. I was the queen of power napping in college. I can't say that I've had the time to do it in the middle of the day since then. However, you know, in all residency training programs for physicians, we work crazy hours, sometimes in the middle of the night, sometimes only nights, or, you know, 24 hours in a row. And all residency programs are mandated to teach you about sleep, because we have to recognize when we are sleep deprived, and you're not going to make great medical decisions if you are not you're not well rested. And so recognizing those signs and being able to speak up and have the courage to say, you know what, I can't do it right now. I got to go take a quick power nap. I need to take this 20 minutes to be able to rest my brain for a second so that I can be present and, you know, make good decisions.
You need to share that with the legal profession. I did see John for some reason, though. I think it was in between episodes. I was at his house and we had a break, and he was like, I'm going to take a nap. I was like, is he really just going to fall asleep right now? Like, he laid on the sofa and just, like, closed his eyes.
While you were there? That's amazing.
Yeah. So I checked email, which is probably the counterproductive of what I should do. But he, like, fell asleep. And, I don't even know if he went to sleep, but he woke back up.
So you
ready to go.
So group nap time like we did in kindergarten.
Everybody
get a nap.
They don't nap in kindergarten anymore, do they?
I know.
They?
Yeah. Well, they have rest time in kindergarten.
Okay.
I want a cot. Do you guys have any cots left? Do you remember napping in cots?
Again, fancy. I think I did have a cot.
Cot? We had these green, really ugly cots.
I do remember that. Yeah.
I was in kindergarten.
I do remember the cots.
I woke up one time and the whole class was looking at me and they were clapping because I was the nap champion. I had napped the longest.
Starts young.
I could see that.
Why was it so quiet when I said nap champion? Even Taylor and Tasha, they can hardly hold it in.
I don't think we know what that is.
The importance of early habit formation.
Are you sleepy right now?
I think we need to wrap this one up. Yeah. It's time for John's nap.
Yeah. it is almost nap time. Oh, that is so funny. Well, you know, it is. And I think all joking aside, I do think we really need to look at this in our organizational cultures of the push for more, more, more when the body's saying, I need to shut down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you look through history, a lot of great leaders, this was a part of their practice. And, you know, I think there's ways to get creative. You know, if you're at a company that you can put a mat under your desk, or just having the conversations around well-being. And for me, I find that 10 to 20 minutes, and now I'm not great at always doing it. It's easy for me to just work through lunch and keep going. But when I do that, the studies are showing that you're going to do a lot better because you're not nodding off, you're not getting distracted. So I think if we can sort of frame some of these things, and that, you know, I know we're kidding around, but it's not a nap. It's a tool to get you back into your best state. And we talked with Nate about rhythms. Our bodies are like that too. And if we don't stay in rhythm and we push, 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 that's when the breakdowns happen. That's when Thursday or Friday people are crashing and they're making mistakes. And so I think if we sort of reframe some of the, I'll say too, for me, even the sleep, the, you know, getting up to bed around, you know, looking forward, looking to the next day, that's something I want to practice again, of not how cool would this next show be, but what do I have on tap tomorrow? What am I really committed to as a human being? And does that short term trump that? Sometimes, yeah, I just want to watch the show and live and have fun. But not if I got a big day the next day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We joked about your luxury, your lifestyle, and we should be clear, you work very hard and all this work goes into this. I don't even know how you do
for
it.
Sure. No, no.
But I do think we all right now, or some of us, Shavani, I know less so for you, but for those of us who do have a luxury of lifestyle where we are kind of working remotely, trying to figure out if we're going back to office or hybrid, just whatever it is, I think now's the time to try to build in some of those habits of maybe it's not a nap, maybe it's a walk, maybe whatever it is, but there's less excuses now to not do those things. So I agree. Need to build it in.
Yeah. I'm challenging both of you before we record again to try a nap out.
You're going to watch my kids?
Yes. We will. We'll grow some beans next time or do some canvases.
Amazing.
Actually, Sahana will probably watch me.
While you nap?
Yeah. That's not effective. So... All right, well, we should probably wrap it up and take a nap. This has been great. Great to chat with you all this week. As we're leaving here, though, is anything, you know, from today, insights that, you know, something you're going to try or just that you've been, as we've been in such a growth learning conversation today, I was just curious, anything you want to close out with?
I think just the idea of being open to feedback and open to development, I think, is really important, and kind of got to watch this highlighted too, which I really appreciated.
That's good. Yeah, and I think just listening to others, especially as you know, sometimes you may be thrown into a role of being a coach, and people may come to your advice and listening as opposed to just giving advice, and then also listening to yourself, because what I saw this part of the coaching session was that you had all the answers, you just had to get to it and listen to yourself. So just listen.
Yeah, just listen. Well, I'm the same way. I think just the with not rushing something, you know, and not doing things that would cause me to be in a hurry, and you know, striking that balance between making something happen to seize an opportunity with, is this set up for success? And I remember with the company that wanted to do the interview, instead of me getting irritated that I couldn't fit it in, I send them a message and I said, hey, I am so grateful that you thought of me, and I care about this opportunity a lot. I'll be back in 2 weeks, and I would not want to do this, you know, this would not be doing it justice for me to be able to put my full time and effort with what I have happening this week. And they were very appreciative, and so that was a shift for me in saying I care enough about that request that I'd want to be at my best to do it, and knew that this week wasn't the best time. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just continuing to pace things, pace what we're doing. And we are grateful for you listening today. Hope you get a chance to take a nap at some point. Mm-hmm. 10 minutes. Try us. Let us know how it is. And have a wonderful day.
We invite you to continue making room with us. You'll find this episode and all of our exciting and meaningful conversations on Apple, Spotify, or really anywhere you choose to listen to podcasts.
Join the Making Room movement and get more info at makingroomwithus.com or follow us on Instagram at Making Room With Us.
Thank you for showing up for us and each other. Until next time.
You are wonderful and full of truth. Just just as you are, just as you are. You're welcome here just as you are.